Got your Bible, Matthew chapter 10. Let's go ahead and start there. We're going through our series of lessons on the church. There's 31 lessons to that. And so let me quickly glance through these together with you. Church family, if you've never looked at the booklet we put together on the church, on the Walk and Chew series, that's where every one of these lessons have come from. They're in that order of lessons. Our first lesson was on attendance, on baptism, Baptist, then body. They're kind of in alphabetical order. And then we talked about the church being a bride and a building. We talked about what the word Christian means, why we're called that. The word church means called out assembly. Deacons are not supposed to be demons, amen. So we talked about deacons. We talked about church discipline. We talked about doctrine. The word doctrine means instruction. That's what the church is supposed to do, is instruct and edify believers. Fellowship. The word fellowship means partnership, not just as far as communication with one another, but we're partnering with somebody. Our founder was Jesus Christ. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. Talked about the house of God, mentioned four times in Scripture. Talked about the household of faith. That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ. Why are we independent? In the day that we live with denominationals and organizations, what makes us independent? We talked about how God set up the church that way. We talked about the Lord's Supper, and we talked about church membership. Three different ways a person can join a Baptist church. We talked about missions last week, and then this week we're going to talk about the origin of the church. But church family, this one on the origin and the one on founder, a little bit similar. In fact, I'll bring out some things we talked about before. But all you have to do is this. You just have to remember, as far as the church, when it started, who started it, and where was it started. And when you do that, you can kind of find out if you're in the right church or not. So we're going to look at that for just a little bit this morning. If you did not get a Sunday school lesson, would you raise your hand? Brother fellow, you can grab one. Anybody not get one? All right. Brother fellow, it looks like you did a good job. I appreciate you doing that for me. All righty. Matthew chapter number 10 is where we're at this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your word. I'm asking now publicly, as many ask privately, let you would again speak to our hearts, teach us from your word. Lord, thank you for these lessons on the church and understanding, Lord, the institution that you set up, why it's so important, why we should be a part of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church family, the word origin, as we would use it, just simply means the point at which something begins. The point at which something begins. Now, church family, I want you to look at your Sunday school lesson. I don't always refer to it, but I want you to look at something this morning. Look at Roman number 2 on your Sunday school lesson. I want to remind you of something. If I was not a Baptist, this is one of the first things. All you have to do is Google, and I'm not an internet person, but I'm just telling you that if you just do your history, you'd be able to find out, okay, what kind of church am I going to, and why am I going to this particular kind of church, okay? Now, this chart here, I didn't get it from anywhere. I got it on the internet, and I said, when did the Catholic Church start? When did Islam start? When did Lutheran start? And I want to tell you, when you follow back the starting of their church and who started it, it ought to tell you that the kind of church you want to go to is the church that Christ started. In Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church. That means Christ started the church. And I will tell you, there are some people that think the church started at Pentecost. I believe the church started with Jesus Christ because he's the one that said he'd start it. And of course, if I'm Pentecost, you're adding 3,000 to the church, then you have to have something to add it to. All right. So to me, logically, it even makes sense, let alone scripturally, that Christ started the church. And so when you look at this chart in front of you, the Baptist church that we go to was founded by Jesus Christ, Palestine being Israel or even Jerusalem, if you want to get more particular. In 33 A.D., Christ's earthly ministry was between 30 A.D. and 33 A.D. And of course, he was crucified at 33 A.D. Now, again, to me, all you got to do is ask yourself some particular questions. Those three questions, there's four of them, but three of the main ones are in Roman numeral number 1 of your Sunday school lesson, all right? And again, I just want to remind you that these are pertinent questions. If you look at Roman numeral 1 of your Sunday school lesson, the question is, letter A, is who started the Baptist church, all right? So again, we believe that Jesus Christ started the Baptist church, all right? We believe that because of Matthew 16:18, but also in that paragraph there, Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20 says this, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All right, so church family, when we talk about apostles and prophets, prophets is referring to the Old Testament, apostles referring to the New Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Old Testament prophets, New Testament apostles, a book written, of course, by Peter. And, of course, you got Apostle Paul who wrote 13 of those books. What I'm trying to get you to see is that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone that the church is built upon. And then everything we believe came from the prophets and the apostles. What do you mean? The Bible. The Bible. So our foundation is the Word of God. So who started the Baptist church? Jesus started the Baptist church. Now, we're going to come to the name here again in just a second. But look at the second question. When did the Baptist church start? Now, I want to tell you, I know that, again, I'm not out in the world per se, and I don't go to public school, and it's amazing how they want to change history, and the reason they want to change history is because they want to deny Christ, all right? But church family, we're still living in 2018 A.D., all right? Now, the definition of A.D. is in your lesson there, but it means Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, all right? Now, again, this is not a promotion of the internet this morning or Google, but I want to tell you, all you have to look up is in the dictionary, and you're going to find out that Anno Domini, the definition's in here, I'm going to be real particular here, but here's what they said. They said AD stands for Anno Domini, which is Latin for the year of our Lord, and here's what it also said, public book, and it means the number of years since the birth of Christ. Now, to me, that's not something the Baptists wrote, okay? That's a fact. Okay, so if that's a fact, and our dating system is based upon the birth of Christ, then I want to go to a church that came from the time of Christ. I don't want to go to a church that all of a sudden 200 years ago said, hey, I think we found a better way. Jesus is the better way. All right? Hey, this morning, I hope you understand. How elementary can I get this morning? Because people need to know that what church you go to. Okay, well, I go to the Methodist Church. Okay, when did the Methodist Church start? John Wesley. Hey, by the way, John Wesley was right on salvation. John Wesley was right on a lot of things. Of course, when he started the Methodist Church, the United States of America had morals back then. But you can notice here, the Methodist Church started, John Wesley, England, 1738. Of course, I said United States, but it came over to the United States. I just want you to understand that there were a lot of good things that were started with the Methodist Church, but it's not the church that Christ started. All right? Now, this morning, I am not trying to say that Baptists are the only one going to heaven. That's the farthest thing from my mind. There are a bunch of Methodists going to heaven, a bunch of Catholics going to heaven. All right? But I am trying to say, and by the way, the only ones going to heaven are those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not what church we go that gets us to heaven. But there is something important to when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right? In other words, the kind of church that Christ started would always be in existence because the gates of hell couldn't even stop it. Does that make sense? All right, so Satan has not been able to stop the kind of church that Christ started in 33 A.D. What kind of church did he start? He started with 12 apostles. And he called those 12 apostles, okay? All right, let me go quickly to the next question here. Who started the Baptist Church? When did the Baptist Church start? Where did the Baptist Church start? And again, going from the Bible, we understand that Jesus' earthly ministry was in the land of Israel, and particularly in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if I will put the verse in here, but if not, I won't have you turn. It's in there, okay? Look at the paragraph there. Letter C there. Where did the Baptist Church start? Luke 24:47. Jesus said before he ascended, he said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all, in his name among all nations, beginning where? Say it. All right, beginning where? Say it again. At Jerusalem. So the origin of the Baptist Church was in the area of Palestine, and specifically Jerusalem, because that is where Jesus performed his earthly ministry. All right. So this morning, I guess I know it's elementary and it's crazy to me that people can't see that. What kind of church do we go to? We go to Baptist Church. Why do you go to Baptist Church? Because Christ started the church. How do you know Christ started the Baptist Church? Okay. Goes to the next question. Now, I think the first three questions are the most important. But look at the fourth question you have there. How did the Baptist Church get their name? Why are we called Baptists? Now, church family, I'm not going to repeat all of these lessons because some of this is repetition this morning. But the kind of church you go to is supposed to be the replica of the kind of church that Christ started. All right? Isn't that pretty simple? I mean, it's not a matter of that we're not a denomination in the sense of that we have an association of churches. We're not a denomination in the sense that we're a part of a convention, okay? That's what makes us independent. And that's the kind of church Christ started, by the way, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that we were not always called Baptists. But that kind of church has always been. Don't get hung up, boy, saying this is really going to throw people for a loop, okay? Don't get hung up about the name Baptist as much as you should get hung up about what kind of church did Christ start. Am I going to the kind of church that Jesus Christ started? Okay. Now, I hope you understand I'm a Baptist on purpose. Okay. And I believe that the Baptist church in the era that I'm living in right now is the closest thing to the replica of the kind of church that Christ started. Hey, church family, these non-denominational churches, number one, they're not the kind of church Christ started. I'm telling you right now. Jesus would not have stood at the front of a non-denominational church and said, it doesn't matter how you come, just come. Jesus would not have stood in front of a non-denominational church and says, hey, listen, you don't have to tell people about Jesus Christ. Just live the life and they'll see it. Jesus wouldn't do that. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Alrighty? Now, I just want you to understand that the kind of church that Christ started, there's a particular kind. How do we know what kind? Well, we look back to I'm looking at Matthew chapter 10 this morning, that when Jesus called these 12 apostles, because that first church started with these 12 apostles. Look at Matthew chapter number 10 with me now, and let's look at a couple things together, alright? I'm looking at verse number 1, Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, all right? The word apostle means sent one. The first was Simon, who was called Peter, and then Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Libius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, just remember, these ones that were called, I want you to understand that the church that Jesus Christ started is no different than the church that we have today. All right, I want to explain. In the church that we have today, what makes that church just like our church? Number one, they were called people. They were called believers. You did not accept Jesus Christ because you found him. You came to Jesus Christ because he found you. All right. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, that God said that if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So how did you get saved? All right. I was at a church service. You might have been at a camp. You might have been at home. You might have been by yourself. But some way, somehow, the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of your sin and drew you, and you answered that call. All right? So just like Jesus called these 12 apostles unto him, it's the same principle that we were called the day that we accepted that call in, as far as salvation. Again, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is when you reject that call. But what else makes us the same? The word apostle means talking about being sent out or being sent one. Can I tell you that's the same way with us? God saved you to go. God didn't save you to sit. All right. So here, just like the apostles here, as they were the first church, they were called, they were sent. I want to tell you something else that's unique about them. When you look at these 12 apostles, you're going to find out they were faulty. They were not perfect. Now, other than our church, most churches don't have perfect church members. But this church, all perfect church members. You never do anything wrong. You always say the right things, always act the right way. Good testimony for Jesus Christ. That's what I like about you. This is the perfect church. When you pulled in this morning, you saw the halo across the top of the church this morning. All right. Now, we know that's facetious because just like the first church, this church has faulty church members, faulty pastor, faulty deacons, faulty Sunday school teachers, because we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Think about it. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas was lost. Kissed the door of heaven, went to hell. Right? So these guys, James and John, pride. Hey, let me sit on the right hand and him and my brother on your left. I said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. I mean, should we call fire down from heaven and kill all these people because they won't listen to us? I mean, you just think about all the different faults that these people, that these disciples had in the first church. And I just want to tell you, it's what we are, alright? All right? But I want to tell you they were faithful too. Peter saw 3,000 people accept the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. All of the 12 apostles went to a martyr, most, I think, almost all of them, forgive me, went to a martyr's death because of their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, we as Christians might be faulty, but we can be faithful. Now, this morning, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 10, and I want to show you something that's very unique to me, okay? All right, I'm going to ask you some questions. Let's see if you can answer and make sure you're with me, all right? Who started the first church? All right? What area of land did that first church start in? Alright, started in Israel, Jerusalem particularly. Alright? Exactly right. Approximately what year AD did it start? 33 AD. Again, it could be 30 to 33. Jesus called these disciples together. Now, when Jesus started this church with these 12 disciples and he's having his first church meeting, what do you think Jesus is going to go over? In Matthew chapter number 10, he calls these disciples together and the remainder of the chapter are specific things that this first church was supposed to do. Now, church family, if the first church was supposed to do it, I just want to tell you, so should this church. If Jesus told his disciples as a body of believers, what does the word church mean? Say it. Ecclesia means called out assembly. All right. So they were called out. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They were called out. They followed Christ. They came together. Now I want you to look at Matthew chapter 10. And I want to show you all the things that Jesus told this first church to do. All right. Look at your Bible. Look at verse number 5 now. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them saying, what's the next word? Verse, all right, the word says go. All right, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach. Now, church, I want you to see this morning is this. And of course, we all understand that he said to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Jesus was not saying, I don't want the Gentiles not being saved. That's not what Jesus was saying. Okay? Jesus was proving the principle to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. So he says, I want you to go first of all to the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel. Can I tell you what he's commanded us to do is to go? And we've had several lessons. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'm telling you what is the responsibility of this church is to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, well, I'm not the best soul winner in the world. God didn't ask you to be the best soul winner in the world. He just said, go. He didn't tell you, you know, you had to have everything memorized. He just said, go. He didn't ask if you were raised in a Christian home. He just said, go. All right? You're with me this morning? Say amen? Amen. Amen. Happy, happy, happy. All right, so look, next thing. Look at verse number 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received. Freely give. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 8 through 10, he said, first of all, I want you to go into the law and preach the gospel to the lost. And second of all, I want you to help others. Now, church family, I know there's a lot of churches, their whole premise for being a church is to do social events and social helps and charities and all that kind of thing. I just want you to understand, God's not against helping others. But I want you to notice what the first thing he said to do. Go to the lost. Amen. Then he said, I want you to raise the dead. I want you to heal the leper. I want you to help the sick. Hey, church family, I'm all for sending food to the missionaries, to the mission field. I'm all for medical missions as far as, I'm all for that. But remember, primarily, he said, go to the lost, go to the lost, go to the lost. Then secondary, help. Our church has a food bank here. I'm all for that. There's other things that our city will do that we sometimes get involved with. I'm all for that. And we should. But can I tell you, as a church family, yes, we need to go to the lost, but secondarily, we need to make sure that we help others. All right, look at something else here. Look at verse number 11 through 15. 11 through 15, look what Jesus tells the first church. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return you. Now look at verse 14, first phrase. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Now, church family, I just want you to understand that the third thing that Jesus tells the disciples is that I want you to speak to those who will listen to you. Look at that phrase one more time so you don't miss it. Verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you. Verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Hey, church family, can I tell you that you know what God's commanded for us to do is, number one, go tell the lost. Number two, help others. But the third thing he says very clearly, is speak to those who will listen. Church family, I'm not going to waste my time at a door trying to convince somebody how they need to be saved if they don't want to listen to me. We've got this whole thing backwards. We act as if we're the ones winning them to Jesus Christ, or as if we're the one if you don't listen to me, you're not going to get saved. Church family, if they don't listen to the Holy Spirit, they're not going to get saved. All right? So when I go knock on a door and I tell them, hello, my name's Scott Hanks, I'm from the Heritage Baptist Church, just like give you a gospel tract. And they say, oh, I don't want that. I'm not there to convince them. You know, I've been with people before that they try to give somebody a gospel tract at a door and they say, well, fine, go to hell. I've heard them say that. This is my wife, by the way. Anyway. I'm joking. It wasn't my wife. Hey, church, all I know is this. I don't have to get them saved. All I've got to do is go and tell them. We get so offended because we act like they're upset with us. Church, they're not upset with us. They're upset with the gospel. They're upset with the message. They're upset with Jesus. They're not upset with us. All right, so here's what Jesus tells the first church. Who's the first church? How many people were in the first church? 12. Who were the first church? The disciples. One of the very first things he says to them is this. Not everybody's going to listen to you. They're not going to. I just want you to speak to the ones that will. All right, so church family, stop worrying about all of these people who will not take your gospel tract, or people that when you knock on their door, they don't want to listen, or whoever you talk to and they just don't. Stop worrying about that. Talk to the ones who want to talk. All right? Because he said, shake the dust off. You know, we've got Christians, they leave the dust on, and it bothers the living daylights out, and they stop going soul winning. All right, look what else he says here. That's verse 11 through 15. The next section is verse 16 through 25. Verse 16 to kind of a larger section, I think. Verse 16 through 25. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of what? Verse 17, but beware of what? Beware of men. See here. He says, verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents. Verse 23, but when they what? persecute you in this city, flee into another. In other words, don't stop. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now look at verse 24, key verse. The disciple, why don't you just read it with me. Ready? Verse 24, together. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Church family, what did they do to our master? Crucified him, beat him, scourged him. All right. He says, hey, listen, you're not above your master or above your Lord. If Jesus Christ did that for us, then we should be able to take it for him. Verse 25, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? All right. Now, here's what Jesus is telling the first church. The next thing is this. First, he says, go and preach to the lost. Second, help others. Third, speak to those who will listen. Fourth, expect persecution. Expect persecution. You're not any better than Lord Jesus Christ. People are going to like you either. I just went to this wedding yesterday. It was neat to see Jacob and Constance get married yesterday, last in Ada, Oklahoma. And you know what? I think I could be a Southern preacher. I mean, I couldn't do the Southern thing, but I mean, I could handle the South, I think. But you know what? Every person I gave a tract to smiled at me and said, oh, thank you very much. I wanted to ship them to Lawrence, Kansas. Because we don't get that in Lawrence, Kansas. I don't want one of those. Go somewhere else. I want to talk to you. Stop peddling your religion. Come here, buddy. I want to knock you in the nose. We got the college here, and you know, I kind of feel bad for them. Because in a lot of places you go out soul winning, at least you can hold a conversation with somebody, even if they're lost, at least they'll talk to you. Okay, our town's not always like that. I mean, you knock on a door in our town, man alive, you're going to have a hard time pressed to try to get someone to talk to you. And you know, there's several reasons for that, but beyond that, you know, it's refreshing, you know. I stop at a gas station and I say, hey, listen, I just want to give you a gospel tract. And every person, I'm talking about every gas station, smiled and said, thank you very much. And said, thank you very much. I was shocked. I have a new mission in life. It's called the traveling gas station missionary. I wish everybody was like that. But church family, everybody's not going to be like that. And by the way, you're not in this to make you feel good. You're in this because Christ said, hey, time is short. Everybody's going to die. They're going to go to heaven or going to go to hell. And someone needs to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've left you here to do that. And expect persecution. Expect it. All right. So that's what he's done. Remember, he's talking to the first church, these 12 disciples. All right. Quickly, I'm going to go through the rest of these. Verse 32 through 38 is the next grouping. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Verse 26 through 31. I almost skipped it over. Verse 26 through 31. All right. Here's what he says next. What's the first three words? Verse 26. Verse 28. What's the first four words? All right, I'm going to read it. Verse 28 again. Verse 28, and fear them, and fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul. And I like the context of these next verses. Verse 26, 27, 28, he says, don't fear them. Then he says in verse number 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. What's the first three words? Verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now, church, let me think of what he's saying here. He's saying to the first church, he calls the 12 disciples together. He gets them all together. He says, now listen, Jesus started the church. He's got these things. He says, first of all, I want you to go out, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to start with those that are Jews. Go to the lost people of Israel. He said, second of all, he says, I want you to go out. But he says, I want you to help others along the way. I want you to cleanse the leper, raise the dead, heal the sick. He says, I want you to do those things as you go out. I want you this is not just to witness, but I want you to help people while you're out there. So now he gets down to this thing, and he says, okay, you are going to be persecuted. Only certain people are going to listen to you. And then he says, in this next set of verses, he says, but don't get afraid about it. Don't fear it. He says, I know how many pieces of hair is on your head. He says, I don't even let that little sparrow, I don't know how you are, but when I sit at McDonald's or in a restaurant or if I'm driving or if a cluster, I don't call them clusters, a grouping of sparrows get up and fly. You ever look at a sparrow, how small it is? Whenever I see a sparrow, I'm looking out the window, and I'm studying. Whenever I see this, I stop. I always do. I stop, and I just look at the sparrow, and then it just reminds me: if God sees the sparrow, then He sees me. All right. Now God says you're worth more than a sparrow. And I want you to understand, he says, well, you're trying to tell people about Jesus Christ and you're being persecuted and people like to complain about how you're a Christian. A guy called me yesterday. He said, just got fired from my job. And the reason he got fired from his job is because he was a Christian. He was telling me some of those things he had. And I want to tell you something. Those things are going to happen. And we don't like it when that happens. But I just want you to understand. He says, don't be afraid. He says, I haven't left you alone. He says, I'm going to be there for you. Quickly, the next one here. Verse 32. Down to verse number 38. 32 to verse 38. I'm trying to hustle here. Verse 32 says this. And whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Verse 33. And whosoever will deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance. Now, church family, Jesus is talking to the first church. This is not your normal non-denominational church of love everybody, get along with everybody. We're all one in Christ. Did you hear what Jesus said? He says, I didn't come to send peace to this world. I come to make you at variance. The word variance means to set apart. I'm here to cause friction. And then he tells who the friction is going to be with. Look at verse 35 again. For I am come to set a man at variance against his who? Father. And who else? The daughter against her what? Mother. And the daughter-in-law against who? Her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of who? Of where? He that loveth what? Father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth what? Son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, church, do you get the context of what's going on here in verses 32 through verse number 38? He says, hey, listen. He says, if you can't confess me before men, and specifically father, mother, son, or daughter. He says, I didn't come to make you all one big, happy, earthly family. In other words, your brothers and your sisters, your father. He says, you know what? I'm going to cause variance. In other words, if you take a stand for Christ and you confess me before men, your family's not going to like it. Some of you in here, you're real faithful to church, and I appreciate that, and God obviously knows. But there's some of you sitting in here right now, your family doesn't like it that you come here. There's some of you probably in here this morning, your family says, oh, you're going to a cult. You know what Jesus said? If you can't confess me before men, I'm not confessing you before the Father. That's right. And let me tell you who your biggest fight's going to be with. Family. Hey, church family, you know what he tells the disciples next as a church family? As a church family, here's what he's saying. You love me more than you love family. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He says, you make sure you love me most. He said, that's the most important thing. Now, quickly, let me close. Here's what he says in the last part of the chapter, verse 39 through 42. Because of time, let me just point out a couple of words here. Verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's what? What's the last word in verse 41? What's the last word in verse 42? You know what he tells the disciples here? Yes, you need to go out and tell the world about me and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to go out and help others. He says, you need to go talk to the people who will listen. He says, you are going to be persecuted. He says, but don't be afraid. He says, take a stand because even family won't like it. And you know how he ends it? I'll reward you. Amen. Hey, Lord, come back today. We're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be rewarded according to how we did what Jesus told his first church to do. Go and tell the lost. Take a stand for me. Help others. Live the Christian life. If they condemned your master, they're going to condemn you. Church, I mean, what are you doing this morning? Spiritually speaking, what are you doing this morning? When's the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When's the last time you knocked on a door? When's the last time you just went on a ministry that you had an opportunity to witness? You say, well, I'm tired, or people don't want to hear it. Jesus told the first church that was going to happen. And Jesus said, hey, listen, I didn't leave you there alone. I know how many hairs on your head. I know what you're doing. I'm the eyes of the Lord in every place. I'm watching you on a regular basis. Church family, I wish we were there when Jesus was actually speaking, but we are while Jesus is actually speaking because we have his written word. Hey, don't give up. Don't quit. Time is short. Lord, come back at any time. I wonder what Josh Wesson thought when he dove into that water and pulled, I think it was three fellas out, went to get the next one and drowned with that person. Now he stands up in heaven with Heavenly Father and been there, went to the mission field for 9 years and died at what we considered a young age, but he gave 9 years of his life to winning those folks in the Dominican Republic. She said, don't miss your opportunities in life. They're fleeting. And the older I get and the older you get, you as well as I would say, man, time goes so fast. You better make sure that you take advantage of every moment. And church family, those moments are not just family moments. Those moments are Christian moments. Being a witness for Christ and putting Him first and reading His Word, doing what He wants.